today in this celebration of the Ascension, I think we can, you know, a simple way, be very distracted by the reality of what this feast is all about. As a child, you know, I remember seeing images of the little feet of Jesus kind of sticking out underneath the cloud as he disappears from their sight. And to imagine this feast in that very physical way is a mistake. It doesn't pay heed to the richness and the complexity and the subtlety of the Jewish authors who have given us this magnificent description and in imagery of what the reality is. Disappearing into a cloud is not something that's new. Whenever we see an image, we need to think, has this image ever happened before? Am I reminded of another scene? And to go back to that scene and to see what is happening there. So the first time that someone is described as disappearing into a cloud is Moses on Mount Sinai. Does Moses go into heaven at that point? No, he simply goes into the presence of God. And we begin to see that the presence of God cannot be contained just to one particular place. The whole idea of ascending, of going up to a high place. Again, the Hebrew scriptures are filled with images like that. We have a whole bunch of psalms that are called the Psalms of Ascent. And it doesn't matter where Jewish people are coming from, whether it's from the top of Mount Hermon, which is a much higher mountain, or even the Mount of Olives, which is right next to the Mount Zion, where the city of Jerusalem is built. But they ascend to go to Mount Zion. So Mount Zion is seen as this figurative high place. Even though they knew the geography, even though they knew that it wasn't literally the highest mountain in the world, but because that was a sacred place, a place of encounter, you would always ascend to go to be with the Lord there on Mount Zion. So the biblical authors are using all of this imagery. They're reminding and remembering the whole sense of what God's original purpose and plan was. When Adam and Eve are there in another high place, the Garden of Eden is seen as a high place, both because all of the rivers flow down from it, but also the prophet Ezekiel describes it as being on a mountain. It's that sense that that is our original purpose, that God created us to be in his presence. He desired, he longed that we might be with him in this simple communion, that heaven and earth would be able to come together in all kinds of different places. And that's what the Ascension is about. The last 2 weeks, we've heard from the book of Revelation in chapter 21. And there we get this image, this vision of the heavenly Jerusalem descending to be with the earth. This marriage of heaven and earth finally coming together, separated by our sin, separated by our dysfunction, our disobedience. God is bringing all of these realities back together again. And in the heavenly Jerusalem, the author just says, there's no temple because you don't need a temple anymore because God is finally able to dwell wherever the people of God are. And that's the reality of what the Ascension is pointing to. That Jesus ascends to be with the Father. Jesus ascends into this different experience, this different dimension. But we are also invited, as our opening prayer today reminds us, that where the head has gone, the body longs to go in hope. That this is a call for us as the church to be ourselves, to be the people that God has chosen us and called us to be. And that invitation that we hear in the first reading today, and both this Sunday and next Sunday, it's the first reading that carries the weight of the story for us. But we're invited to go and to announce the gospel to all the nations, to be the very bearers of God's glory and God's goodness to all the people around us. And how do we do that? It's not just, you know, a sense of that we have to evangelize on the street corners and do what we have to do. But it's about being authentic witnesses to the love of God in our lives, to the people that are already in our lives. That's what evangelization is all about. It's not doing these extraordinary works necessarily, but about being authentic lovers of the people that we are with, being changed and transformed because Jesus has changed and transformed us. Jesus has done this work as the great high priest, as a letter to the Hebrews tells us today. This gift of what Jesus transforms and changes, that we finally have this access. We don't have to worry about our sins anymore because Jesus has done this work. He's transformed us and changed us and called us into life. And so we can be that call and that bearers of God's love within the world. So this feast of the Ascension shouldn't be just understood in that very weird physical sense of Jesus disappearing. No, it's of Jesus becoming even more present to us. This gift of his love that is available because of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. This wonder and love that God so wants us to experience. By being loved by him, we can share that love. We can be the bearers and the wonderful representations of that love within the world. So it's indeed. Give thanks that God has done this work for us, to change us, to transform us, so that we can experience him, so that we can be loved by God in this present moment, and we can share that love then with those around us.